Welcome, welcome everybody to Take 256. We're back. We're back from fall break. Keeks and I had a great fall break. We'll catch you up. We'll get you guys up to speed on our fall break. But the breakdown for this take, going to be a nice tight take. We're going to get right into the nitty gritty. We're going to go over fave thing we watched. We're going right into our blind draft of the alphabet. We are on letter B. So a few weeks ago, we did letter A. I won that draft unanimously on the Instagram.
Unanimously?
I did. I won it by
unanimously mean I didn't get a single vote.
That's true. Okay, split decision. But I did win it by a good margin in the percentages. So thank you for all the sweets for voting. We'll slap up this draft. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about my draft picks, but you might take some. So we'll see. And we're going to get into the Killers of the Flower Moon review. We got a lot to talk about. One of the, you know, newest, most anticipated movies for us. I think it was your most anticipated, right, Keeks?
Sure was.
Wow. Okay. Well, without further ado, Keeks, you and I, it's Sunday right now. I'm watching Sunday Ticket and recording. I love having some football on. But tell the people about your fall break.
Yeah, so went to Disneyland last Saturday through this past Monday. Went with some friends that we've been making till death with. Been very fun, and we've been talking about the trip for a while. So like, we finally pulled the trigger. There was eight of us that went, stayed in a great Vrbo, not Airbnb. And honestly, Vrbo, I've never gotten so much communication about a house before staying there. And really? The place was amazing. Like, it really was like an awesome, awesome location. Pool, hot tub, big place, plenty of room. It was amazing. Close to the park. We rented a car. Because honestly, like, they said it was half mile away, but they were a little deceptive. Because I told them, I was like, I looked it up and the house is 2 miles from the park. And so I emailed them. I was like, it's 2 miles. They're like, no, it's a half mile away from Magic Way. And I Googled where we were from a road called Magic Way, where you can take a shuttle. And it was still like a mile away, mile and a half. So we rented a car. It was super cheap to rent a car for all eight of us. We did like a van.
Oh, nice. You went with eight people.
Yeah, eight people.
Oh, I thought you went with like four.
No, it was eight of us. Yeah, it was eight of
us. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's a time. That sounds really fun.
Let me tell you, okay? You know, I've doubled down on the fact that if you come with Disneyland with me, you're not waiting in any lines. Eight people, 15 to 20 minute average wait. Still. Come on. Like, if you're not doing Disney with the sweet Keeks, you're doing it wrong. I'm getting you to lines. The biggest trick, though, TC, do you want to know? I'm curious. What do you think is the biggest trick to a good Disney trip?
Man.
For you when you go.
For me when I go, it's... Yep. I don't really want to feel... I don't want to feel stressed about hitting every ride. I just want to go enjoy the pageantry of Disneyland. And also, I don't want to wait in line for more than an hour. I think my cap for waiting in line for a ride would be like 30 minutes.
There's three rides that I will wait like kind of a long time for. And that's like every park. That's like Disneyland Paris. That's Disney World. There's like three or four rides.
Yeah. So what's your recipe for a good Disney trip?
Mobile food orders.
Ooh, yes.
Too many people stand in those lines and wait to order your food.
Yep.
Don't do it. Find restaurants that have mobile food ordering and you order your food from there, because that means you can just go, you can sit down at a table, you can get your spot, you can get ready. Then when your food is done, you just go up and you get your food. Very rarely are you looking at needing to wait for different like entry windows. Mobile food ordering, you have to get a specific like food, like an ordering window. If you're not ordering food at like the beginning of the day, I've never had to wait to mobile order my food.
Yeah, no, that is one of the greatest things Disney has added, is the mobile food ordering, because like you said, even you can even have a reservation like 2 months out, if not even further, for like specific restaurants. So If you're really planning a Disney trip and you want to eat at a restaurant that's sit down in Disneyland, you got to plan ahead. But yeah, the mobile ordering, we did that last year when we went. Super handy. So nice.
It is just on the Disney app. You don't have to pay for Genie Plus or anything like that. It's
Yeah.
already included. Use the app. The app is your best friend if you go to Disneyland. If you need any tips, I will gladly give you my tips for a fee of a 5-star review and a written review of Sweet Film Talk Podcast and a follow
Do
on Instagram, Sweet Film Talk, and on Letterboxd.
Do it all. Do it
Yeah.
all.
So yeah, that's basically what I did. And then we filmed a short film for a video game that my buddies like playing called Hunt Showdown. We filmed it Friday night from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. Saturday morning.
What day was this again? Was this?
Friday evening till Saturday morning. This was
Oh,
at,
because you.
and we filmed at a train. We filmed at the Heber Valley Railroad.
The Heber Creeper, is that what they
Heber
call it?
Creeper. Yep. We
So
filmed
you
on it.
were working from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. Whoo!
Yeah.
How you
It was
doing? How
really fun. I had a great time. I pounded some Monster Juice pipeline punches.
Oh my gosh! Will that just inject the caffeine into your veins? I can't do all-nighters anymore. If I do an all-nighter or if I stay up way late, I don't feel it the next day. It's really the following day.
Yeah.
It's weird. So you would be feeling it more so today, but you look great.
I appreciate it. Yeah, yesterday I was pretty tired. I slept to like 1 and then I woke up and then I went to bed periodically in and out from like 4 to 6:20, which is then when I woke up and went to your Halloween party. How was your fall break?
Dang. You had a loaded fall break, Disneyland. How long was your filming? Real quick, I'll get to my fall break. How long's the film?
Probably 4 to 5 minutes, pretty
Oh,
short.
nice. Just a cute little short film.
Yeah.
Love that.
Fun little short.
Love those shorts.
Till death on its way.
When are people going to be able to see Sheet Talk?
Well, it premieres at a festival in Lisbon in March, and then we'll be able to see how it does there. And
Are
then
you
from
going?
there,
You're going, right?
yeah, we
Got
want to. We're
your
looking to go.
tickets?
I need to figure it out because we're looking to leave the week before spring break and how Jordan School District work is you have to have use like a lottery system. So I gotta check this week about how that's going to work.
Gotcha. Okay, speaking of which, Jordan School District, I saw a story on Becky's about you are the CTE star. Talk to us a little bit more about that. That is sweet. You have like your own wall dedicated to you.
I mean, I think they just take turns highlighting different people. I don't think it's anything that deep.
Yeah, but I think it's flattering. I think that's really cool.
Sure. They were like, "Hey, can you send us some pictures and stuff of what you've done with the students?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." So I did, and I don't know. I didn't think it was anything too. I don't know. I don't think it was anything too crazy, but it was a cute little thing to. I think the program is gaining more traction. I
Yeah.
think there's more and more people that are like seeing its worth and are like really, like looking to get more involved. So that's exciting. That makes me very happy.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Love that.
So we're gonna see.
My fall break, Kennedy and I, we went last Friday was when fall break started. We traveled down to Panguitch, Utah, which is right outside of Bryce Canyon. I had never been to Bryce Canyon before. So we did a little stay at Bryce Canyon. We stayed the night in Panguitch, and then we packed up and stayed 2 nights in Tropic, Utah. Like these are just little towns just out there. But Bryce Canyon, we did the Peekaboo Loop Trail. Very, very sweet. One of the coolest hikes I've ever been on. And it was like 5.5, 6 miles long, but like you go into the canyon and like you come up and you can see, and it has like little archways like in through like the mountains. It's very cool. Like even if you're not an outdoorsy person, you do this hike and like you just go see Bryce Canyon and you will appreciate like how grand it is and how like honestly amazing it is. So that is probably one of my all-time favorite hikes. And then after that, we just like went back to our Airbnb, just kicked it. We watched a really funny movie, which I'll kind of, I'll talk about it now. We watched Death at a Funeral, directed by Frank Oz. Everybody needs to add this to their comedy watch list. This will definitely make my top 10 first time watches to end the year. Very funny, British humor. They actually did an American remake. I saw the trailer for the American remake and I'm like, gross. That
Wait.
That does not look good.
Is there so who's in the?
So Zoe Saldana and then Chris Rock, Tracy Morgan is in the American remake. Peter Dinklage plays the exact same character in both. I just saw a trailer of it, and just from the trailer, there's like this. There's a few scenes that are like replicated, just exactly.
Tom Wamsgans is in the original version.
Yeah. That's. I went down like this weird rabbit hole of Matthew McFadden, Tom Wamsgans, and I saw that he was in Death at a Funeral, and I saw like positive reviews, and it looked like a good cast. I was like, let's add it, and it's $1.50. A/Sweet. I loved it. So we watched that on our trip.
Okay.
Watching movies on a trip, like you've mentioned, just I don't know why it elevates it a little bit more. It's really
fun. It feels like a nice little treat.
Yeah. And then after Bryce Canyon, we went to Lower Calf Creek Falls out in Escalante. Tropic is where you want to stay if you're going to go to Escalante. We went there for one day. It's like a 6-mile hike. The payoff, is awesome. There is an amazing like waterfall. So
this one's got gambling on the brain.
Yeah, maybe.
But we need you to, put your we, entire paycheck on Zach Wilson and the Jets to beat the Giants.
Hey, in overtime. How about that?
Sure did. JETS, Jets.
I'll talk to you about my trade. We'll do a little fantasy update here in a minute. But yeah, that was a fall break. So, and then we did a little mini Halloween party. So that was fun. And
big nature guy.
You know, big nature guy these days.
Mm-hmm.
I like to get out and walk and you know partake of life's beauty, but I also like to go to Disneyland. I like to go to Disney World. I like to go to movies. I like to do it all. You know,
there's nature at those places.
I really actually want to do more sporting events. Like, I really want to go to like an LSU football game next year, or like really plan a weekend where I am like, you know, just full on tailgating, just soaking up a good sporting event.
Yeah, I can dig it.
Yeah. So anyways, it was a good week. It was a good fall break. Chilled, watched some movies, and now we're back to the grind. Back to it before Thanksgiving break. Got a few weeks.
Real big shout out to you and Kennedy for your Halloween party. It's they're really good every year, but this one was like, you guys, it was awesome. It was really awesome. I had a very fun time with it.
Yeah, we're wanting to we'd like to play the games, but we're wanting to like continue to, you know, invite some more people. So,
yeah.
And
thanks for doing trivia.
We have like a little tight space. So we have like limited number, but we do want to continue to branch out and get more people.
I think it's a great amount of space.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Man,
trivia was fun. You killed it in trivia. Good job.
Yeah, I did. That was not me trying to like, you know.
No, you kill. I was like, dang, Geeks, an anglet. You knew what an end of a shoelace was.
Yeah, an aglet.
Aglet. That's
yeah, it. It's just one of those things. I feel like my life is like every moment of every day, it feels like I'm asking myself a question and then immediately Googling it. And, you know, it really is true. It's like the things that you search yourself, you're going to remember much more than like something you learn in school. So if you have an interest in something, teach yourself.
Yeah.
You should.
Another thing that we did over fall break, we ran a half marathon.
How was that?
Oh my gosh. Okay, real quick, real rant. So we ran the spooky half, this haunted half marathon up Provo Canyon. Like you go past South Fork. You know where South Fork is? That's where you were filming. I think the Heap of Creepers around that area.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like the entryway. I think it might be up a little bit more. But anyways, we decided to sign up for this like a month or two months ago, I think, just to kind of have like something to work towards. And we did a half marathon in 2020 when Kennedy and I were dating. But man, it is, it was cold. I think the worst part about the whole run was they shuttle you up to the South Fork. So you park like near some office complexes at the Riverwoods. You get into some shuttle buses and they shuttle you up to South Fork, up Provo Canyon. Mm-hmm. And they drop you off. We got dropped off like around 6:45. The race starts at 8. We are hanging out just up at this parking lot where with a bunch of porta potties, a bunch of people for like an hour and 15 minutes, just waiting till the race starts. Awful. That was the worst part of the whole. Like it should have been like, hey, if you get up here at this time, you start, but they can't do that because buses got to come up the road, and that makes it problematic for runners coming down. So they just need to structure it a lot better, because we were waiting up there for more than an hour just waiting to run, and it was freezing. So, but anyways,
yikes.
Race time went well. It was a lot of it was downhill, so it was feeling good. Miles 1 through 7 felt really good, and then after 7 miles, I was like, okay, the body is deteriorating. So,
yeah, good luck. You're halfway there.
Yeah, and then we had to do hosted our Halloween party. Kennedy loves Halloween. She killed it with the decorations, mm-hmm. and yeah, just a tired weekend.
She killed
weekend.
It with trivia too.
She did. Yeah, yeah. So here's a sweet movie morsel.
Okay,
a food that is edible that really never expires is honey.
That was your one dog. Trivia question.
Yep, our dog.
Your dog's name, who will live forever through all of us.
Yes, she will. She's going to live till she's 100. She'll outlive us.
She will. She really will.
Yeah.
Oh, same time. Wow, same time. I mean, I don't know. Movie news. Martin Scorsese is on Letterboxd. He's got he's got a new list out. It's like 10 best widescreen films. And I was like, gosh dang, man. This guy's gonna have some crazy lists that people are gonna try to, you know, 100%.
I really feel like Letterboxd is a safe space for Marty. I feel like he's going to really thrive there, because I think he's just, I mean, Letterboxd. Okay, I will say this. One thing that annoys me about Letterboxd, this is the one thing, I think you can agree with this.
Okay.
Is when they do their Instagram, like, what are your 4 favorite movies to, like, these film artists and these, like, fans? And they list off these random movies that I've never heard. And I really want to, like, look these people in the eyes and tell and, like, say, those four movies that you just listed are your absolute favorites, like, over, like, these guilty pleasure watches.
They're
like,
lying every time. Every time it feels like they're lying. Like, I don't believe it for a second.
I am shocked. I think they're just kind of reaching in their bag, and maybe I'm being a little bit judgmental, but seriously, some of these movies these people list off, I'm like, that is your favorite? Like, that is your all-time favorite? Like, those four.
Yeah.
Anyways, you sent me a DM one time about that, and I was like, yeah, I totally agree. But hey, you know. Like what you like.
Like what you like, but I don't know. I do find it really hard to believe that these people are listing off these movies. It's like, that is really? I don't know. And maybe we're just simpletons, too.
To a degree.
Yeah. I'd take it.
Yeah.
I'd take it with honor, to be honest.
Yeah. Fave thing we watched? Should we get into it?
Yeah. You kind of started talking about yours. I'm curious, do you have any more? Because I'm just going to go over the Halloween.
I have 2 more. I have A Haunting in Venice, directed by Kenneth Branagh. I have not seen the previous 2 entries with Murder on the Orient Express or Death on the Nile. But Haunting in Venice is a great little spooky, suspenseful watch. Good murder mystery. Dutch angles galore. We had a great $5 Tuesday watch. Slammed some slab pizza beforehand. Good cast. And a good little mystery. I actually didn't know who did it. And it's kind of distinguishing what's real, what's supernatural, because this plaza they're in, palazzo they're in, is like haunted. But is it? And so a few characters don't really hit the mark, but the main people do. So B+, sweet. I liked it.
Oh, dang.
And then RoboCop. Holy crap. This is one of the most brutal movies I've ever seen. Like, jaw-dropping, like, whoa. A- sour. Definitely on the sour scale. Mm-hmm. But very cool. Very cool 80s movie. I saw a review on Letterboxd that said, like, one of the most 80s movies ever. And, yeah, definitely.
It's funny that, like, every movie is just the most 80s movie ever from the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but this one definitely has kind of those vibes, but kind of a set in a dystopian future, so to speak, and Detroit. It's just good bad guys, good antagonist, and a good, like, protagonist, and yeah, cool action. So, A- sour. And those are my 3. Death at a Funeral, A Haunting in Venice, and RoboCop. Wow, we get one from each generation there.
Dang. I dig it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I love it. So I've been doing, obviously, the Halloween. Today I will be caught up. Today I will be, you know, as October, I will be at 29. But I'm going to go from least favorite to most favorite that I watched this week. And last place is this terrible documentary about the McCamey Manor, which is basically this guy who, like, people go to this haunted house, which isn't a haunted house. He just tortures them. And I hate documentaries like this. It's called Monster Inside, the McCamey Man or something like that. And it's a real place that existed. And this guy would just take people through, you know, 7-8 hours of torturing him in his backyard, basically.
Yikes.
And it was like, it's nothing you've never heard before if you were to just go Google the guy and click on his Wikipedia page. Yeah. I'm so sick of these documentaries that are like, there's no aspect of like investigation. There's no aspect of wonder. It's just, let's pump it out. Let's throw it onto Hulu. Let's do some snappy editing and people are going to enjoy it. I thought it was awful. The next one that I watched was The Sacrament. It was a found footage movie by Ty West from, I think, like 2009 or something, or 13. Not really a whole lot to it, which is totally fine because he's made X and Pearl since, which are great movies. Five Nights at Freddy's. I watched the Five Nights at Freddy's movie. Pretty terrible. I played the game once. Some of my students are like, you didn't like it. Do you know the lore? Like past students that I follow on Instagram. It's like, I shouldn't have to have played 8 video games to understand, like, to enjoy this film. The film is not very good. Some of the cinematography is nice. Josh Hutcherson, good to see him in a film. But what is the, there's no horror to it. There's too many B plots that are irrelevant.
Yeah.
And that are added to kind of create the story, because the game is just, you have to survive 5 nights as a security guard in this kind of haunted Chuck E. Cheese adjacent theme park. So I didn't love it. I watched Lady in the Water on the way back from our flight to California. M. Night Shyamalan, kind of when it starts to go downhill. It was interesting, but I didn't love it. Watched The House at the End of the Street with Jennifer Lawrence, the most 2000s movie made in the 2010s. I also watched my buddy, a buddy's short film that premiered called Miss Remnant. It's on YouTube. If you go to Unirealm Productions, you can watch it. Some really interesting ideas there, but I think it just needed to be longer. Then I also watched The Raven with, what is his name? John Cusack, not to be confused with John, Joan Cusack. Interesting. Edgar Allan Poe trying to solve murders based on like the stories that he wrote. So it was interesting. I watched Child's Play, which is the origin of Chucky. That was made in the 80s. I watched that on the plane ride to California, and I liked it. It was actually very fun. It was really fun.
That's surprising you've never seen that before.
I know. I've seen the other ones, like bits and pieces of the sequels, which I think were really fun. But this one, I liked it. It was pretty brutal. Chucky has some good moments in it. Some really great practical effects that I really liked.
Nice. Okay.
Then I watched Ginger Snaps. That's my next favorite. It's a Canadian werewolf horror coming of age film that I really, really liked. I also watched Reanimator, which is kind of a new take on Frankenstein. This guy develops a serum that can bring people back from the dead. Then I also watched Beetlejuice for the first time, which I really liked. Beetlejuice, that was a lot of fun. Honestly, though, I don't know if this is a hot take. I think Beetlejuice is the worst aspect of the movie. I really liked the premise of these dead people trying to scare people away from their dream house. I liked that a lot. I watched Beetlejuice.
Real quick, Michael Keaton's only in that movie for 17 minutes.
Yeah, I think it would have been just fine without him. I get his purpose in it, but it's kind of funny that the movie feels like it's revolved around him when it kind of isn't.
Yeah.
Today, I watched Shaun of the Dead, which was a riot. Oh, my gosh. I loved Shaun of the Dead. I thought it was super funny. I thought it was great. I had a great time watching it. And then, obviously, my favorite one, we're going to have a double header this week. So, on Halloween, we're going to release Trick or Sweet Volume 5, where we're going to talk about the Blair Witch Project, all thing found footage. And we'll go more in depth. Me and TC watched that this past Wednesday. So it was a fun watch. But that's the Halloween. I will be all caught up, and I'll give my rank of them when October comes. When Halloween comes, I'll do a little rank of everything I watched.
Heck yeah.
So I've watched a lot.
You have.
Yep,
you
watched
have.
A lot this week.
I love all the movies you've watched this year. I feel like most of them are pretty campy and fun.
And yeah, like I've had a very good
silly horror.
A lot of movies that I've always heard of and wanted to watch, but I've never watched. So it's been a great time for it.
Have you ever seen Invader from Mars?
Mm-mm.
Or The Gate?
No.
My brother is like, you need to watch those. I think they're kind of campy 80s.
Invader?
More kind of like family horror.
Okay. Yeah. 86, and then The Gate.
The Gate. I saw a trailer for The Gate, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this looks like Goosebumps.
It's so crazy to see all these horror films that came out in the 80s that then there are, like, multiple sequels to it.
Yeah, yeah. So anyways, man, my brother was like, dude, you gotta watch these, man, because it's like they scared me as a kid.
It's kind of crazy.
He likes scary movies, so I'm like, okay.
Do you remember how big the straight to video like film marketplace used to be? We used to get dozens of Disney sequels straight to video. Like, huge. That it's almost non-existent now. They don't really exist.
Straight to stream now.
Yeah, which is a bummer. It's just not the same.
Yeah.
Not the same.
Alrighty. I'm ready for this blind draft.
Okay, we're gonna do it. I mean, it's not really a blind draft.
It's not. It's letter draft.
Yeah, it's a letter draft for the letter
alphabet
B.
For B. Okay, I went first last time, so.
Okay, I gotta go first?
You're up.
All right, so I did a little deliberating, and I kind of pulled a little bit of a curveball. I'm going with Back to the Future.
Dang it! Dang it! That was my number one. Ugh. Dang it, dude.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me upset.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Man.
As soon as I saw it, I'm like, I think I have to pick this one first.
Yeah, that was my number one. Okay, yeah. My number two. I think I would rather watch this over this one.
Mm-hmm.
Rewatch it, but I don't like this one as much as the other one, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But I'm going to stick with my guns, and I'm going to go Batman Begins.
Are you really, you're going to leave me with this one?
Yeah, I am.
Blade Runner 2049.
Okay.
No way! You picked Batman Begins?
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
I love
Blade Runner.
I love Blade Runner 2049, but...
Cool. Okay, cool. I'll take him. Back to the Future and Blade Runner 2049.
Yep.
You're still going to win. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how, but you'll still... I feel like I could pick everyone's favorite movie, and somehow you'd pick three, like, fun movies, and my draft would crumble.
Next one, The Big Short.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Do I get my top three? Dude, I did not think that I would get these ones. Okay, The Batman.
Yeah, that is a B. That is a B movie.
Did you not think of it? Wait.
No, it was. I just didn't really think about The Batman.
Oh, dude. Oh, my gosh. I did not think that I would get these first three. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
You're cooking. You are cooking right now.
Okay.
Okay. My next one. I'm going to go with Baby Driver.
Oh, that's a good pick.
I'm going to go with Baby Driver.
Wow. I didn't even think about that one. Okay. So I'm left at a crossroads. I feel like I could get this one later. I have five right now that, like, I really want to take, and I don't know which ones to take. Oh my gosh. Okay. I gotta go Boogie Nights.
Really?
Yeah. I said it right out loud, right as I said it, and I'm feeling like I don't know if it's gonna be the one, but I think my last pick is going to bring it all together and get me the win.
Okay. I'm interested to hear what that last one is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of going for balance. I'm going for a variety here. Mm-hmm. And I think this is one of the best action movies ever made, and that is Bourne Identity.
Oh, got it. Yeah, that's a good one. Okay. I didn't think that you would pick this one, and so I'm kind of hoping that this one comes out for me and really, like, draws the people in. Because a lot of my movies, they're all like Blade Runner, Batman, kind of a similar vibe. Boogie Nights, that's a hard one. Big Fat Liar.
Wow, that is a reach. But who's in that movie? Frankie
Muniz and Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, yeah. And is Amanda Bynes in that movie?
Amanda Bynes. Shut up.
Oh my gosh.
Have you seen Big Fat Liar?
Yes, I've seen it. Are you kidding?
I just think that it's such, like, a fun watch that Like, it's so much fun. I don't remember where I was the other day, but people were talking about Big Fat Liar.
Okay. My number five.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go with first time watch this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. And I think anybody that has seen this really likes it too, Before Sunrise.
Dang, that's good. Yeah, I actually thought that you were going to take one of those.
I like my five. I will say the only thing I'm upset about is that you got Back to the Future.
I'm shocked that I had Back to the Future, Blade Runner 2049, and The Batman as my first three. And I was like, he's going to take one of these. There's no shot that I'm going to get these other ones. My follow-ups were going to be Blair Witch Project, Beauty and the Beast, and then Beetlejuice.
Ooh, okay. My follow-ups were going to be Big Fish. That's one of my personal favorites.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Burn After Reading.
Fun.
The Big Sick.
Okay.
Black Klansman.
Oh, that's a good one.
And Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Gosh, dang.
Backups.
You had a killer list. I'm really curious how mine, because here's the thing, like, if our big movie people come out, they're gonna see Boogie Nights and be like, hell yeah, like, you know what I mean, like Boogie Nights is Boogie Nights is Boogie Nights, like Boogie Nights rocks. It is as good as advertised. Now, it's not for everyone, but it is, as if you've seen it, it's like, oh yeah, Boogie Nights. But yeah, I'm curious to see if my lack of diversity might kill me again, to be honest.
Because I say what you want, I have Batman Begins, iconic Christopher Nolan Batman movie, the start of the trilogy. Batman Begins rips. It's good. I rewatched it last year before the Batman. Mm-hmm. It's good. It is good. The Big Short, all-time Adam McKay movie, great cast. It's good. The Big Short, you can't hate on that. Baby Driver, great
That could be where you win.
And then The Bourne Identity, and then following up with a cute little whimsical romance watch of Before Sunrise.
Dang, you've actually really been like killing these drafts. I know that I felt really positive about mine, but I'm super nervous about Boogie Nights. I think had I put maybe Blair Witch or Beauty and the Beast there, I think maybe that could have added some diversity. But at the same time, are we drafting for ourselves or are we drafting for the vote? And you have to, at the end of the day, you got to go with your guns at what you like.
Yeah, I'm doing a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm. These are very much your picks. It's funny they put Batman Begins, because like, I would definitely put, I think the Batman is better. I think Batman Returns is better. So interesting that you picked that one.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think when you said the Batman, I was kind of like, shoot, like I probably should have picked that. I think I would rather watch the Batman over Batman Begins.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had more viewings with Batman Begins than the Batman, so that's why I lean towards really wanting to rewatch the Batman.
What were you picking between Batman Begins?
Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, really? Okay, because yeah, I've seen Blade Runner 2049 a few times.
But if I gave you Blade Runner 2040, if I had picked Blade Runner 2049, I thought you were gonna have Batman Begins, and that would have Back to the Future and Batman Begins, which would have, the suites would have totally voted for that.
Yeah. Interesting. So
that's another reason why I went with Batman Begins, because I think that's a lot of suites are going to be kind of swayed by that vote.
Okay. Well, everyone, we're going to put it on our story, and
I'll text you.
Y'all can vote. We should maybe even put it up today before the episode comes out.
Let's do it. I like that.
Yeah, that way there's no bias.
I like that.
Okay.
Okay. I'm sending you my list. Okay.
I actually have them both written up here.
Oh, so perfect.
I got them. Yeah.
Okay. That was a good draft. So tell me your draft again.
I have Back to the Future, Blade Runner 2049, The Batman, Boogie Nights, and Big Fat Liar.
Okay, I love your first three.
Yeah,
your four and five, don't really care for. I haven't seen Boogie Nights, so I can't say. Big Fat Liar, that is like a guilty pleasure, young teenager watch.
That is, if you were a teenager or a preteen in the 2000s, you've seen Big Fat Liar.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's all it is.
Okay, minus Batman Begins, The Big Short, Baby Driver, The Bourne Identity, and Before Sunrise.
Okay,
stacked.
Yeah, love it.
Good drafts.
Speaking of stacked, it's time.
It's time.
You know, the movie's been out for a week. It's coming to Apple TV Plus, I think. What is it, next week? It's like November something, I think, is when it comes to.
Is it really that soon?
Yeah, I think it's pretty soon. Maybe not. Maybe not as soon. It is directed by Martin Scorsese, based on the book of the same name. We are talking about Killers of the Flower Moon today, starring Leonardo DiCaprio, Lily Gladstone, Robert De Niro, Jesse Plemons, amongst others, and tells the story of the massacre, the assassinations of the Osage people who migrated from Missouri. They were kind of and were relocated to Oklahoma, which was believed to have the worst land in the world, or at least in the United States, until they stumbled upon all of the oil that was there and the immense amount of riches that came from it. In the beginning of the movie, it does state that at one point in the United States, the Osage people were the richest, like, group of people per capita, I think, in the United States, at least, maybe even in the world, because of the oil and, like, the natural resources that we're sitting on. And it talks about the wolves that started to encroach on their territory. TC, what did you think of Killers of the Flower Moon?
Killers of the Flower Moon, I mean, let's get this out of the way immediately. It is a long watch. It is 3.5 hours of your time that you have to block out and go watch. I think it is a good watch. I think it's a movie that if you can understand, okay, I'm going to be in the theater for this long, take your bathroom breaks, you know, prep yourself. But it is, I think, an important watch. It is like a project that Martin Scorsese, one of the most decorated, greatest directors of cinema ever, has been really passionate about, and he's finally brought to screen. I know this was supposed to be released last year or even 2 years ago, right? Do you know when filming happened?
I think filming started during COVID.
Okay. Yeah. There was like some behind the scenes with Scorsese with a mask on. Anyways, I thought it was very, very good. I thought it was very well done. It is a hard watch. There are some sequences that are kind of hard to watch because, you know, some pretty brutal killings take place.
Oh yeah.
And you just see people that are very greedy, that take advantage of the Osage tribe and just to, you know, get a leg up, so to speak, on getting money and taking advantage of that. So it is a hard watch on that aspect. I think one of the things that I liked the most is how good this movie looks. I loved the production. Every frame looks good. The costume design. I'll be shocked if this doesn't get an Oscar nomination. I love the different costumes, from like the suits that Leo wears to like the blankets and the Osage apparel that they wear. I think just the way it looks really good. It makes you kind of travel back to the 1920s. I loved the Osage County there in Oklahoma. I thought the town looked great. The old-timey cars were awesome. So from like a looking value of film, I mean, Killers of the Flower Moon is one of the best looking movies I've seen in a long time and in theaters. So, and I think it's paced pretty well for 3.5 hours long. I think it's paced well. I love the beginning and I love, love, love the end. The ending, I think, nails it. So those are kind of my thoughts bottled up. We'll obviously expand on them, but what'd you think?
You know, so I had to pee like twice in this, but at the same time, it's like, what people, here's the thing, anytime Martin Scorsese comes out and he's had a lot of interviews and he says a lot of things that are right, people get really upset and they start to think and they start to say things, and you know, people have been like, it's a 3.5 hour long movie. It's like, Lord of the Rings Return of the King is like 3 hours and 15 minutes, the original cut. We all sat through Avengers Endgame, and that was like 3.5 hours long. Oppenheimer is going to gross $1 billion, and it was 3 hours long. So for me, I don't really understand the big uproar about the runtime, because just take a day. It's coming. Go see it in the theater, or to be honest, it's coming to your house. You can go watch it at home. 3.5 hours. Enjoy the movie, because for me, I didn't feel like it felt like 3.5 hours long. The big thing that I was kind of thinking is, I don't remember if it was, I think I was talking to someone about Wolf of Wall Street. It's like Wolf of Wall Street kind of feels like three different movies in one movie.
Yeah.
degree, you know, there's like segment, it's segmented. There are exact points that are going on. Kills of the Flower Moon feels like a complete, like it is all one idea that's 3.5 hours long. That's executed really well.
Yeah.
You know, if I had to say one thing about the movie that I don't think totally worked for me is it feels a little expository at some times. Like it feels like there's a lot of information being given like via conversation. But then when you really dig down to it, there's a lot of scenes that flesh out exactly who these characters are, even though you've been given the background info. I had someone tell me, someone messaged me that said this was the worst movie they've seen all year. And absolutely it's not. I don't, when The Meg 2, The Trench exists, when documentaries like Monster Inside exist, anyone that's going to tell you it's the worst movie all year, it's not. Children of the Corn, there was a remake of that that came out this year. You had Cocaine Bear, you had Plane, you had Ant-Man Quantumania. These movies are much worse. Five Nights at Freddy's, this movie has a lot to say, and it might feel like a lot, but the movie for me flew by.
Yeah. No, well said. I think, you know, to each their own with their opinion, but I mean, it is greater than, it's not a very entertaining movie like Ant-Man Quantumania. It's more, it makes you think. It makes you think, you know what I mean? Not that Ant-Man Quantumania is like entertaining. That's just like popcorn movie. You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying. Yeah. It's not like Endgame is like, people are like, oh, Endgame is like, it's spectacle and it's fast food filmmaking to a degree.
Exactly. Like, exactly. That's what I meant by it. This one makes you think. It makes you like pay attention. It makes you watch what's happening. And another thing that I loved, Leo's teeth, man. Amazing. On the real though, like the acting, like De Niro, I loved Lily Gladstone and De Niro on screen. I thought they were wonderful. And of course, De Niro does great too. So not Robert De Niro and gosh, what's his name?
Leo.
Yeah. DiCaprio. Yeah. De Niro DiCaprio.
It's kind of crazy that I feel like Robert De Niro is in like 2 to 3 really crappy movies every year. And then he shows up like in an Irishman or Killers of the Flower Moon. It's like, oh yeah, this guy's like the greatest to ever do it. It's such a weird dynamic that he has. But he's excellent at it. And I think there's a lot to say. You know, a big thing that I noticed is the use of like work and like who's deserving of things and who isn't is really interesting. It's like they don't even deserve the land. They just moved here. They didn't work for it. But it's like, well, they clearly have an infrastructure set up to get the oil out. Like they've been moved and forcibly like exercised from their homes to move to other places, Trail of Tears, other things that happen. So we're going to talk about like deserving of things. And then to see these pitiful men that are just absolute wastes. The only thing that they can do is marry these and try to luck into killing the wives to then get their head money, which is despicable. To see these like just stupid, weak looking guys doing what they can to marry an Osage person, these Osage people to get their money. There's a great scene at the beginning when someone dies and the funeral is surrounded by Osage people. There's a handful of, you know, white people there and other people there, but it's mainly the Osage people. And then at the end, it's like a handful trickled in and mainly with just like white people of the community that are there that are on the surface showing their support, but as we find out, absolutely are not there to support the Osage people.
For sure. Very deceptive, very manipulative.
Mm-hmm. Robert De Niro's character of like, oh man, yeah, sinister stuff. All like to their day, to their dying day, believing, no, like I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, like, yeah, come cuff me.
Yeah, we deserve it. Yeah.
My grade for Killers of the Flower Moon is A/sweet. I think it's a movie that you should go see, especially since it's been a passion project of Martin Scorsese. And it's also an important historical event that happened.
Yeah.
Like it is a crime. And you and I talked about how a lot of crime, like there's a whole podcast dated to like called a podcast dedicated to crime called Crime Junkies. There's all these different crime, you know, shows, Dateline, everything like that. Like, we are fascinated with crime because a lot of times, like, the crime that takes place is, like, fascinating and shocking. And I think to a degree, like, this also kind of touches on that subject as well.
Yeah,
so it's hard.
It's a great look at what we've become as a society. Is so many people, like, these true crime podcasts are like the most popular forms of media in the world. People love true crime, but if you dig a little deeper, it's like true crime is it's recounting these absolutely despicable stories of disgusting, murderous people, just ravenous wolves that, you know, brought to you by BetterHelp and HelloFresh. We can digest it a little better. You know, it's a ghost story. It's a campfire story where, oh, isn't it spooky that these things exist? And I feel like, to a degree, Indigenous people have been portrayed in media as like, oh, they used to look like this, and look at the headdresses and look at the clothing, kind of as these people that don't exist anymore, but they do, and they're here, and the repercussions of this, what happened to the Osage, is still in effect. But these stories have to be, like, sanitized for our consumption. And the way that Martin Scorsese ends this movie, we won't really talk about the end, just because you should go see it. It's great. But he was talking about why he approached it that way, the ending that way, and that there were radio stories about the Osage murders presented by the FBI, like, in the 50s that he remembers listening to. So, like, really? The end of the movie is crazy. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. And it's very effective, very powerful. I felt like the very end shot was very reminiscent of the end of Memories of Murder, where I think Song Kang-ho is his name, is the one of the lead detectives in that movie from Bong Joon-ho. That guy looks up into the audience, and it's very effective.
That is on my watch list, Memories of Murder. But I agree. Like, it's interesting because with these crime junkies, these crime stories, like, there is a victim there. But on the flip side, it's like, man, it is fascinating to listen to and tragic, like, all in the same scope. So
I think the filmmaking on display is really effective with that. Robbie Robertson is the guy that did the score. He is a member of the Mohawk tribe, I believe. So he's Native. He passed away this year, but he did the score for it, and I think it's a very fitting, interesting score. The use of sound is really effective. It can be very, like, discomforting at some times. Yeah. And that still that we had for years of Lily Gladstone and Leo sitting at that table, it's a great scene. Really effective, powerful scene in the movie.
It is. Yeah, totally is, because I didn't know what that scene was about, and then until it happens, it's kind of peaceful in a sense.
It is, yeah, for her, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but for him, it's a little, like, uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's your grade?
I give it an A sweet, but I do lean a little bit more towards sour because there are some gruesome depictions of violence in this.
Yeah, definitely.
Like a woman with her child is, like, brutal, just, like, brutally murdered in broad daylight.
That was one of the most, and it's like the first 10 minutes that shows that. Mm-hmm. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
There are a couple of scenes where I'm like, ugh.
It, and, you know, I will say, it looks like for the majority of you, y'all said that it's sweet. You know, y'all have it more on the sweet end. We did get a review, whereas Seth_Levi says A- or 4.3 out of 5. It was great and hard to watch at times, which it totally was. Yeah. But a great watch.
Yeah.
Great, great watch.
Okay. Killers of the Flower Moon. 2024, I'm going on a Martin Scorsese journey, filmography journey. I got to finish the Coen brothers. And then I'm going to get to Martin Scorsese. That's kind of my lineup here.
Yeah. He's got a lot of movies.
Yeah, I got a lot. But you know what? It's good because I want to, you know, watch more of his movies. I've only seen The Departed. I've seen Goodfellas. Gosh, what else is I?
Did you watch The Irishman?
I watched The Irishman, yeah.
Yeah, okay,
I think I've only seen three, now four. Maybe I'm missing one. I haven't seen King of Comedy. Oh, and I've seen Taxi Driver. That's another one I've seen.
Got it. Yeah, I watched Raging Bull for the first time this year. I liked it.
Yeah, yeah.
Shouts out Thelma Schoonmaker, who has edited all of Martin Scorsese's movies since Raging Bull. It's like for the last 45 years. Yeah, she's won like three Academy Awards for Best Editor. She's really something, really great editor.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So
that's a cool fact.
Really cool that the two front runners for best editing this year are for 3 hour plus long movies and both ladies. So killer, awesome
Dang.
editing for Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon. Now we have seen, so we've seen, like, Oscar season is coming up. For me, Oppenheimer has been the one to beat. But now that we've seen Killers of the Flower Moon, what do you think? Who is more likely to get that best picture, best director type stuff between the two movies?
I think it's Christopher Nolan's year, and I think Killers of the Flower Moon will get a lot of nominations, and I think they'll win costume design. I could maybe see them winning best picture or best director, but I could see that being flipped. Like, maybe Scorsese wins best director, and then Nolan wins best picture, or Nolan wins best director, Scorsese wins best picture. I can see those two being flipped, but that's my prediction right now.
Yeah.
So I really want to rewatch. I want to rewatch Oppenheimer again, and I do want to rewatch Killers of the Flower Moon. So,
yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Okay. Next take. You are not here, right, for next take? Well, technically, you are here. Next take is basically going to come out tomorrow, which is Trick or Sweet Volume 5. And then after that, we are looking
I will not
at,
beat it.
Yeah,
I will
be
not.
Here,
Yep.
Which we will do a fun movie club episode.
Love it.
Okay.
Love it.
Anything else?
No. Everybody stay sweet out there. Enjoy our Trick or Sweet episode tomorrow. We'll talk more about Blair Witch, because this is a great watch to watch it. Go watch it. This is a great watch, especially for the spooky times. And we'll recapture it, and we'll get into some spoilers too. So be ready. Until then, everybody, stay sweet.
Sweet.